So, we started in this story of the Tower of Babel. Let me read it to you real quick. And this is Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Read it last week, but we're going to read it again. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it happened as they traveled from the east. This is people traveling after the ark opens up, and Noah's kids go out, and there's the three boys, and they're getting out there and creating people, and so they think it's probably somewhere between 150 and 300 years later. So the earth is filled up with a lot more people now, from the three sons of Noah, but God has given them some direction. But so then they're saying, so they said. And it happened as they traveled from the east, they found this plain in the land of Shinar, and they lived there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." So they used brick for stone instead, and they had this asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us make a city and a tower, and its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth." And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of Adam had built. And Jehovah said, "Behold, the people is one, and they will all have one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. So come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they cannot understand one another's speech." So Jehovah scattered them abroad from that place upon the face of all the earth, and they quit building the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because Jehovah confused the language of all the earth there. And from there Jehovah scattered them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Okay, so to understand why this was a problem, you have to know this part. Okay, so there's two wills. We just talked about that. There's the will of people, and then there's the will of God. I know this is a divinely inspired message, because every time I met with anybody this week, this subject came up, God's will. It's like, wow. So this morning we talked about it, and I think, Greg, you brought it up. That was Proverbs 14:12 that says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." So we know that the two pathways, especially fallen man, and especially those that are not of God, right, that they're going to have a path that they want to go. They're going to have a will. We have a will. You don't have a free will. Anybody that tells you have a free will, or that there is such a thing as free will, I disagree. You have a will. It's been broken by sin. It's no longer free. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. That's what the Bible says. So we have a will, and we do make decisions. And maybe the only person that ever did have sort of a free will were Adam and Eve. But after that, after they were broken from sin, the will that they have is to do things contrary to God. And where does that lead you? Well, it says it leads you to death. It seems right. It seems right to a man to do the things I want, to kind of follow this pathway, to satisfy the needs of my soul, to do all the things. I've got a plan to satisfy all these things that I want out of my life. But what it says in Scripture is that way seems right to us, but where does it lead? It leads to death. Because if you're outside God's will, you're going to end up somewhere spiritually dead for eternity. And so they start out, and here they were, and they weren't the people of God, but God had said to Noah's sons, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, but fill the earth." Pretty much they'd all kind of, Middle Eastern section, that's where all the people kind of hung around the promised land there, and up into Syria and Turkey and Iraq and Iran, and coming down through the country and over to, you know, where the promised land, where the nation of Israel is now. So they've all kind of hung around there since the beginning of time. You know, the Garden of Eden was somewhere up north there, probably in Iraq or Turkey area, where the three rivers came out. And so man has not taken advantage of the entire globe that God created at the beginning. And God says, "No, I want you to fill the earth. That is my will for you, mankind." Okay, but here's what men said. No, God. We have another plan, and we think it's a better plan. We're going to build ourselves a city with a tower on its top, up to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed all over the face of the earth. No, no, God, we don't want to go out there. Doesn't seem smart. Doesn't seem safe. Doesn't seem cool. We want to make a name. We want a world of our own. We're going to make this city. We're going to put a wall around it so we can be safe. We're going to build this great high tower so see, God, how cool we are, and we're going to create our own way of worshiping you. So then we looked and we saw, you know, they were probably looking for the same thing everybody else is looking for, and it's just some sort of satisfaction in life. I want a life that's successful. I want to satisfy all these needs that I have, but I'm going to do it my way. And so here's what they did. And so there were these five things that they actually did that were wrong, and it wasn't going to lead them where they actually wanted to go, which was to find this abundant life that everybody's looking for. So they ended up doing man's will instead of God's will. They ended up committing the sin of selfishness and pride. And they demonstrated no faith in God's plan. God says, I want you to go out. Well, doesn't seem safe, doesn't seem smart, doesn't seem right. I don't know why we should go out here and live in caves and leave all the other people around us. I don't think that's a good one, so we're going to do ours. And certainly it would have taken some faith. But since they weren't people of God, they had no faith in God, and so they had no faith in God's plan. And then they relied upon man's efforts instead of God to find this security for themselves. So, we're going to build a city, put a wall around it. That way we'll be safe from all the other people that might try to attack us or wild animals or whatever other problems are out there. And we'll be able to rely on one another when we need things. Then they tried to build this tower and please God by their own efforts and methods. Now, so I looked at this, and the commentators will give you all these, and this is what happened, this is why God was angry, this is why God changed their language and said, nope, it's going to be my will no matter what, and I'm going to spread you out, and he did. And then, I don't even know, sometimes I don't even understand, how did people get to North America? I don't know. But they did, and there's people all over the earth now. But these people were doing the wrong thing, so we see these five things. So what we're going to do is, I thought, well, this is a good opportunity, because why? Let's look down the list. So take a look. I've done every one of those. At some point in my life, I've done every one of those. How about you? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm pretty much saying I've done all five at some point. And so I thought about that, and I thought, I've been a believer so it's like I can remember. And so these things that these non-people of God used because they wanted nothing to do with God or his plan or his will and just wanted to satisfy their lives by their own will, they fell into this. Well, why am I still doing it then? And so we're going to look at these things kind of one by one, and we're going to ask ourselves, this is not where God wants us to go, right? This is not where God wants us to go. This is not what he wants for our lives. This is not what he wants for his people. And so how are we going to evaluate these things and say, how am I, God, not going to fall into the trap that the people of Babel fell into? Because that's not where you want me to go. And just as I told the kids, it's not because God is saying, hey, I bought you, I paid for you with my blood, with my son, and therefore you better toe the line or else, because I'm God. No, God says, I love you. I loved you enough to die for you. I loved you enough to do what I needed to do to heal the brokenness that's in you, and I want the abundant life for you. I want a life here as I start to transform you back into the original design, what Jesus is like, right? To the image of my son. That's what I'm trying to do after you become saved, that I'm working in you. And so I need you to be in my will because that's where I'm working. Okay, so I'm asking myself, I don't want to be outside of God's will, but yet here I am, a believer, and I'm doing the same thing. So let's take a look at each one of them. We're going to take a look at the first one today. Doing man's will instead of God's will. And why do I do that? So I see, with the kids, if first of all, you have to understand how important this is. How important this is. Why? So I'm going to ask you some questions. You don't have to answer, but I want you to think about them. Because you can give me the Sunday school answer, and I'm already going to know that that's probably what everyone's expecting, right? Okay, but I'm going to ask you this. Do you and I really want God's will? Really? No, really. Not just say it. I'll just repeat the Sunday school answer. Did I wake up today and say, today, God, not my will, but yours? And I picked out what I'm wearing. And, you know, we probably decided on what we're going to decide on what we're going to watch. We may go home and play some games after the potluck. I still have a will. And sometimes I make these decisions, and they're not sinful decisions. But am I asking God? Do I really want God's will instead of my own? That's the first step. And in order for the answer to that to be yes, I have to believe that it's best. I have to believe that God's plan for my life is best. Why? Because people always do what they want. People always do what they want. People always do what they want. And so if I don't want God's will, I'm going to do something else. And the flesh is always there, folks. I mean, it's always there, and it's always saying, no. I don't like this. I don't like this plan of God's. I have my own plans. I have my own things I want. What if I do that and I don't get this thing? And, you know, and I told you last week, that was my life. And I didn't think it was sinful. You know, I did very well in high school. I got into a University of Washington. I spent 8 years in college. I know that's like, what was your problem? But I couldn't actually decide what I really wanted to do. And I did well in school. And I thought, okay, I'm going to use this opportunity to go into this profession that I really enjoyed. And I think I can be, you know, can be lucrative and pay off, so I could set aside and gain some of these things, get the house. I want to get a house. I want to be able to travel. I want to, you know, all these plans that I had that weren't necessarily sinful plans, but they weren't God's plan, because here's what I did.
Here's probably what you're doing.
I said, God, bless my plan, will you? I love you. I'm one of your kids. And here's what I want, so God, can you just please just bless it? Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a will and that God can't say, hey, you know what, as long as you love me, as long as you're giving me your life, you go ahead. I don't care where you work. I don't care. You know, people think sometimes there's just one place God wants me to live. There's just one woman God wants me to marry. And I have to find that, my soulmate. And I believe that God just says, hey, if you're doing what I'm telling you, if you love people, you can probably find and make the kind of relationship that I intend for you to have with another one, with anybody. Doesn't mean God won't lead you different directions, but people think, yeah, there's just one thing. But what God really wants is just for you to say, you belong to me. Okay. So it's easy for us to get caught up in that. But what we really go is, we create a plan, and maybe we look at it and we evaluate it. Is it sinful? Is it not sinful? It is sinful. When you aren't following God's plan, because it's selfishness. And so I've missed that one most important thing that says the most important thing I can do is to recognize that now that I am saved, praise God, I've been redeemed. I belong to God. And so this is the first step, is to say, since I am redeemed, God, thank you for saving me from hell. Thank you for dying on the cross to take care of all of my sins so that there's no longer condemnation for any of those that are in Christ. And that I, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ's work, I'm now a child of God. Thank you for that. But now I have to recognize I no longer belong to myself. And I need to recognize and think that it's no longer my life, that it's God's. But first you do. You have to understand and believe, truly, truly believe that in the center of God's will is the best place you could possibly ever be. Will it be easy? No. Will it never cause or you never experience problems and trials? No. Will it be the thing that makes the most sense? Most of the time, no. Will it require faith? Why is that? Why can't you just take us down the easy road, God? I don't know. But I have to recognize, even when the times get tough, I'm going to have to hold fast. I don't know why this is so hard, but God, I trust you. I'm going to do this plan your way. I'm going to do your will and not my own. Even when it seems like, well, if I'd have just done my will, I wouldn't have gotten into this trouble. I don't know, God. I know you're going to walk through me with me through it. But sometimes we just have to recognize that God's will is the greatest place to be, even when it's hard, even when it hurts. And if you don't believe that, you're going to say, "Okay, God, your road's just too hard. I'm going back to my way." So first, you have to understand. And does Scripture tell us? We see in Philippians 4:19, God, is your way really going to give me the abundant life? Philippians 4:19, and God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then it says this in Matthew 6:33, as the disciples were asking him, and Jesus was speaking and saying, what about all these needs that you have? How am I going to find food? How am I going to find shelter? How am I going to stay warm? And he says, God knows you need all those things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So does that mean that no Christian has ever gone hungry? No. Does that mean that no Christian's ever been killed? No. So can I really trust God to supply my needs? Well, yes, because we think we need things that we don't really need. God says, I know what you need, me. What if then I go up and I say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be your missionary. And I don't know. Yeah, there's the Tip of the Spear movie. You guys ever seen any of that? I think it's called The Tip of the Spear. About some missionaries that went over to this place, foreign missions, and the natives there immediately, when they came in to meet with them, speared them to death in the middle of the river. I'm trying to think of the lady's name. The wife lived. That's it. And so she was. She wrote a number of books and was a great speaker. And how do you reconcile that? God, you opened the door for these men to go over and spread the good news to this tribe of people who knew nothing about God. And immediately they were killed. How can that be God's will? Elizabeth Elliot, yeah. So she understood and she reconciled that, and actually it was really interesting. I think one of the guys that were actually killed her husband ended up coming back to the United States, and they became the best of friends with her family and her son. God's will doesn't always make sense to us. Why would that make sense? You know, if somebody said, hey, In fact, they did this. They, you know, we went to the, Karen and I went to the missions conference in, where was that? Anyway, it was in Jacksonville, Florida. And they were trying to get missionaries, and they said, look, forget all the junk that people are telling you. If you aren't really willing to die, there are people out there who are dying in mission fields today. Don't think it's easy. But if God's calling you, get off the couch and go. And it won't make sense. God, oh, that's God's will, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to be there for like 2 weeks and then die? How could that be God's will? So we have to trust it. We have to recognize and accept the fact that even though it's hard, it is the best place we could ever be. Now, are they receiving their reward and glory right now, those missionaries? Absolutely they are. And from a human standpoint, it didn't make any sense, and I'm sure it was very difficult for Elizabeth Elliott and her family to see that happen, but nonetheless, that was God's plan. And they were willing to do it, even to the cost of their own lives. So do we really believe it? And then do we believe that God's plan is perfect? Well, the Bible says so. Psalms 18:30, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. And he is a shield for all of those who take refuge in him. Now, does that mean he was a shield for those missionaries that were killed? No. Not that kind of a shield. But what kind of a shield was it? He was a shield that was protecting their soul. And nurturing their soul and bringing it to the place where there could be nothing better. Do we really believe those things? That God is going to meet all your needs? And that his way is perfect. We know this, that being outside of God's will has repercussions and consequences. In Proverbs 1, starting in verse 24, I have called you, but you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand, but no one has come. Because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproofs, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I won't answer. They will try to seek me, but they won't find me. Now, God's not doing that to his people, to his children. He still does discipline us. You can read in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 11. You know, you can say, okay, or 12. God disciplines those he loves. So it doesn't mean that we aren't going to still see some discipline from God, but we're not going to see that. But those that decide ahead of time, I want nothing to do with this God, I want nothing to do with this will, they're going to see some consequences, even in ourselves. We know when we get outside of the will of God, we find out that it doesn't work in real life. We're not finding, I mean, we see this all the time when we're seeking those things to satisfy the needs of our soul and we're seeking them our way, it never works. And you see people again and again and again in the real world doing all these wonderful things and they're miserable because it didn't satisfy what they needed. It says, God, only you can satisfy my heart. Only you can take me where I can really find the abundant life even now. But only when we're seeking God's will. And so we have to want it, we have to seek it, we have to find it and understand it, and then we have to do it. And those are all difficult. So we see the why, because we need it, because it's perfect, and because not being in it, we're going to reap the consequences. But then we ask ourselves, well, what is it? Okay, this is not an easy one, folks. One of the biggest questions I get from people is, can you help me determine if God's will for me to do this or this? You know, because it's like those, like, you know, sometimes they're not sinful things, right? We understand that some of the decisions we make are just, you know, I just need to go here, go there. Okay, and I'm just trying to find God's will. And I'm probably just a smart aleck. Because I say, the answer's in here. Almost every time. Then you say, okay, well, so how do we know what God's will is? So there's kind of the two things. One of them is it sinful or not? And then two, you know, maybe it's not sinful, but how do I know what God wants me to do? So those are both things that we have to learn. So is the Bible full of God saying, do this and don't do this? Yeah. And so almost all, you know, as I do counseling, I was doing counseling, you know, people come in and they try to show me and talk to me about their problems. And I say, you know, I can sound really, really smart. All I have to do is quote scriptures. And I think, wow, man, how wise are you? Because the answers are in here. And so pretty much, you know, if you're a biblical counselor, and that's what I want to be, is I understand that God's plan for people's lives, about 99.9% of the answers are right here. Now, sometimes we just say, you know, God, do you want me to go to this job or this job? Okay, it's not sinful. Is either one of them more sinful than the other, you know? Because sometimes we can say, I'm going to take this job, but it's going to just destroy my private life, and I'll never be able to go to church. Or, you know, is that really what you want? No, it isn't. But that's what we have to understand, that God is telling us from his word most of the things he wants. They're either going to be, so obedience, right? This is going to be sinful or non-sinful. And so let's go in here and say, I have a will, God. You know, what should I do? And I say, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love others as yourself. Love your enemies. Be joyful always. Be thankful in all things. And then, you know, then all of the answers and the people, you know, I could go down the list and it's just the answers start to, oh yeah, well, now it makes sense. So God's will for our lives is in here. And so it isn't probably, we talked about this yesterday morning in men's breakfast, do I really want God's will? Well, if I really want God's will, where am I looking for it? And here's the one that bugs me the most. I just really felt peace about it. Did you look in the Word? No. You know, I know this probably doesn't make sense, but you know, I think I need to leave my wife. And so I prayed and I just really felt peace about it. Now, I'm not saying you won't find peace in God's will. But first, check the book. Most of your answers are in there. If you want to really be in God's will, he outlines it for us. Now, I understand it's not easy to do. We're going to get to that here in just a second. So it's not easy to always do God's will. How do we find it? First of all, we have to realize, if you really are going to look for God's will, if you really said to yourself, I understand it, I get it, I know it's important. I understand it's the best place possibly for me to be. And somebody asked me this not too long ago, and I gave him this answer. It's going to start with this. We mentioned it earlier. You have to understand this life is no longer yours. And it's because the selfishness that's still left in us in our flesh, the part God hasn't fixed yet, he's working on it. But we still have, as Paul says it in Romans, you know, I still got this sin that dwells in me, and it makes me do things I don't want to do. Instead of doing the things I want to do, I do the things I don't want to do. Oh, what wretched man I am, because I still am broken even though I'm saved. Okay, so you have to understand, because of that, I am hardwired to want to do my own will. Most of the time when the decisions come, I just feel comfortable saying, nope, I want to do this, therefore I'm going to do it. Instead of saying and understanding, this is very difficult but crucial as a Christian, ownership versus stewardship. You don't own it anymore. You don't own your life. You don't own your time. You don't own your gifts. You don't own your money. You don't own your stuff. It all belongs to God. You don't own your time. You don't own your desires. They all belong to God. Are you willing to accept that and say to God, God, I really want your will because I understand what you did for me. You bought me with a price, and now I belong to you, and you get to tell me what to do, and I love that. Because I know it's the best possible place for me. It doesn't seem like it. But I know that it is. I trust you, God. I trust your word. And so I'm just going to give up myself. I'm going to die to my own will, and I'm going to give it to you. And we see that in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, yet Christ who lives in me. See, that's true, people. Whether you accept it or not, it's not your life anymore. And if you really do want to know God's will and do God's will, you're going to have to start by dying to yourself. So we see that in my life verse, of course, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brothers, therefore, in the name of God, in view of his mercy, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your reasonable act of service. Okay, so I'm going to start. I have to recognize that there's this fleshly part of me that still lives, and every single day I've got to put it at the foot of the cross and say, God, kill it. Because if you really want to be in God's will, that's what it's going to take. Because your will is part of that fleshliness, and it's constantly fighting against God's will. The flesh still lives, and you need to let God kill it. Okay, so how do we do? If we find it, and we want it, and we understand it, how do we do it? Well, first you have to change your attitude. Matthew 6:10. As Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he started with, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, the disciples who were followers of Christ, and they've been with Christ for a while, and they're saying, Jesus, teach us to pray. And what is this? The first sentence is out of his mouth. Quit thinking about what you want. Start worrying about what God wants. If you really want to do God's will, then you have to say this to yourself before you make your decisions, before you get out of bed, before you start deciding what you're going to do in your life. You have to say, not my will, God, but yours be done. That's what Jesus said to the Father when he asked him to go to the cross. Not my will, God, but yours be done. If you really want to do God's will, that has to be the attitude, because I'm telling you, inherently, we're going to say to ourselves, not your will, God, but mine be done. That's the way we are naturally as humans that are broken. And you, in order to overcome that, you have to intentionally give your will over to God and accept his will as what's best. And then three, you got to die to yourself, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will know what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so I have to say, I have to be transformed because what I do is related to how I think. And how I think is humanly most of the time. And so therefore, my mind has to be transformed by this, and by what? It says in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, this is Jesus telling his disciples to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Why? For he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak for himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will announce to you the things to come. See, we have to understand, if we really want to do the will of God, we have to seek it. We have to want it. We have to find it. And then we have to do it. And in order to do that, you need some help. And what is that help? It's the Holy Spirit that God has given inside of us to show us God's will. Are we going to see it? Not until our minds are transformed. Or we're going to continue to conform to the pattern of this world. No, don't conform to that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I have to spend time in the Word, asking the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to the truth, and then apply it to my life. Because otherwise you're walking blind, trying to find the path on your own. And even if your intentions are good, you're not going to find it on your own, because life is too hard and you are too broken. And so we have to give up. It says in Romans, you know, this is life by the flesh is death. Life through the Spirit is life and peace. And so we have to understand if we're going to find God's will, if we're going to actually do it and stay in it, we're going to have to surrender our lives and control of our lives to the Holy Spirit that God gives us inside of us. So as we get to that point, we have to ask ourselves some questions. In closing, do I really want God's will? Maybe you ask yourself this every morning. Maybe you should ask yourself this during the day. Do I really, I mean really, want God's will? It's going to require faith. It's not going to make sense a lot of the time. It's going to be hard. But His will is perfect. Do I really believe that? Am I really open to hearing His voice? I know we talk about it and we say we pray about it, but then, you know, people will say, well, yeah, but I didn't hear anything. Really? Are you really interested? Are you really interested? People will come to me and say, you know, what about this? And, you know, well, are you really interested? I know Ron used to tell me this too, the people. First of all, are you really interested? Because I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like it. You know, I want to know, what should I do here? Well, you're being a jerk. Quit mistreating your wife. That's what it says. Do you really want to hear that, or did you just come to me looking for something that'll make you feel better about yourself? God, Holy Spirit, will be blunt if you're willing to listen. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I really interested in hearing God's voice? Then pick up the book and read it. Are my motives pure? Are my motives pure? Am I looking for something really out of pure motives, or am I just looking for it out of selfishness? You know, I'd ask God to bless my path all the time. God, you know, I'm starting this business, and I really need you to bless it, and I need you to deal with this problem, you know, and I'm short for payroll this time, God. Am I really interested? Are my motives that I'm trying to glorify God in my life or not? Because if you're not, if your motives are not that, then you're just playing a game with a foot in each camp, trying to do your will and God's will at the same time, and it doesn't work. Does the Bible already give me the answer that I need? Most of the time, yes. And then finally, have I truly surrendered my life to God? If you really want God's will, if you really believe that it's the best possible place you could be, if you really believe that you're not going to spin off out of control because you stay in it, then you have to surrender yourself, because there's a battle going on in each one of us, a battle for whose will is going to matter, who's going to be in the driver's seat. And I'm guessing, this is my guess, every morning we get up and put ourselves in the driver's seat most of the time. Practically every day, and because it needs to be intentional. I just get up thinking about, what do I want? You know, can I go get that cup of coffee? Can I go watch the news? That's it. Instead of thinking, this time is not mine, God, let me have the cup of coffee, but I'm willing to watch what you want me to watch or do what you want me to do. Do we start there and we say, okay, God, I'm just going to pull myself over to the right, and you can take in the seat here and drive? It requires that. And unfortunately, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Unfortunately, you would hope that as I'm doing it more, it gets easier and easier, and I hope it does. But I'm just telling you, inherently, you're hardwired to jump in the driver's seat every day you get up. And so it is an intentional act of surrendering yourself to God. If you really want to be in God's will, you have to say it and mean it. Not my will, but thine be done. All right, let's pray. Father, this is a very difficult one for us because we are still broken and selfish. There are parts of us that are not fixed yet, and those parts want to take control of our lives all the time. Sometimes sinfully, as we succumb to the temptations of sin, but sometimes it's just we just want to be in control because we're trying to be God of our own lives, Lord. And you know that. You know how hard this is, even for believers. Lord, work in us. to seek your will, to find your will, and to do your will. And in order to do that, we need to die to ourselves and surrender to your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you will work that way in each one of us as you're there loving us and you desire for us to find the peace and joy and contentment that you intended. Lord, help us to cooperate and get out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen.